You see that there are two readings from in your bulletin today. The first one is from Psalm 124. Interesting translation called The Message. The late Presbyterian pastor Eugene Peterson translated the Bible and left us that book called The Message. It was meant, he was a linguist, he studied languages in graduate school at Johns Hopkins and thought he was going to teach Greek and Hebrew to seminary students, but then he found out that God was actually calling him to be a minister, a preacher, a pastor. And so the presbytery said, well, we need a church here in Maryland. He said, where's the church? He says, no church. Here's a manse. Here's a neighborhood. You make a church. So they started knocking on doors. Hey, we're having church in my basement Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. Come and join us. And after a few years, the basement was filled. And after a few more years, a sanctuary was built. And he stayed there his entire ministry as a pastor, 29 years. And then he went back to doing writing and languages. And so he translated a part of the Bible for his church. He discovered, you know, people don't really understand some of this. It's kind of complicated. And so he started a few chapters to make it lively and contemporary for his church. And one thing led to another. And then before long, there was a whole Bible. He was able to do that because he was brilliant in languages, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. Part of the translation of that Bible, The Message, was done here at Pittsburgh Seminary. So there are a lot of people in town who remember him from that. And so the 124th Psalm, with thanks to Eugene Peterson, goes like this. If God hadn't been for us, all together now, so Israel, sing out. If God hadn't been for us when everyone went against us, we would have been swallowed alive by their violent anger, swept away by the flood of rage, drowned in the torrent. We would have lost our lives in the wild, raging waters. Oh, blessed be God. He didn't go off and leave us. He didn't abandon us defenseless, helpless, as a rabbit in a pack of snarling dogs. We've flown free from their fangs, free of their traps, free as a bird. Their grip is broken. We're free as a bird in flight. God's strong name is our help. The same God who made heaven and earth. Now from the New Testament.
The second reading is from Philippians 3:7-9. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. This is a reading of God's word.
Thank you. Praise be to God. And not in the bulletin, but to be read this morning is just a couple sentences from a book I just finished reading. I don't know if any of you have heard of it. The Correspondent, Virginia Evans, tried 7 times to write a novel. Everyone was rejected. Wouldn't you give up 7 times a book every time? No, no, no. I would have given up after the 2nd try. But you know, some people just feel called. They're going to write regardless of anyone reads them or not. And then she wrote The Correspondent. And for 8 weeks this past year, it was number 1 in America, New York Times list of books. Everybody was reading it. Everybody. Well, maybe you didn't read it, but everybody was reading the book. And 2 people told me, you've got to read that book. It's about a lawyer, retired, and divorced. One of her children died, partly her fault. And she writes these letters. She writes to everybody. She writes to the president. People write back to her. And so this is a record of the correspondence. Epistolary novel, they call it. Aren't you impressed I know that word? Epistolary. You didn't know I knew those big words, did you? An epistolary novel. A novel of letters. Just a couple sentences. I have found it to be absolutely astounding, all the trouble living has turned out to be. Let me read that again. Maybe you felt that sometime. I'm sure you have. We all have. So here it is once more. I have found it to be absolutely astounding, all the trouble living has turned out to be. Things nobody ever warned me about. I wish someone would have thought to say to me earlier on, Sybil, that's her name, Sybil, over and over again, serpents will emerge from the bottom of the sea and grab you by the feet. Join with me as we pray. Oh God, we come gather to stay so that we can be addressed in our deepest needs and be reclaimed so that we will live again, truly live. Amen. Well, I told you about Eugene Peterson. He tells in one of his books, he was making pastoral calls one day. So he was wearing his, we call it a dog collar, you know, clerical collar. He was wearing it because he was making hospital calls. And I know this for a fact. If you go into a hospital wearing a clerical collar, the nurses pay attention to you. You can get attention. They think you're there for some good reason. It's just not someone wandering the halls. I walk in, yes, can I help you? So he was probably making hospital calls that day, but his purpose in stopping was to go to the blood mobile, where once a year he would give his pint of blood. That was just something he did. And so his annual visit to give blood. And he was there with his dog collar on, and they were sticking needle in him. And the nurse had to go through a bunch of questions. And one of the questions was this. Are you involved in a hazardous occupation? And he said, why, yes. She had no sense of humor, this nurse, none. Because her answer was, I didn't mean that kind of hazardous. But we all are in that same boat. All of us. I love how Evans said it in those couple of sentences that I read to you this morning. Nobody told me it was going to be this hard. Astoundingly difficult. Nobody told me how difficult life was going to be. No one told me that there would be serpents that would come and swallow me if they could, out of the depths of the ocean, eat me alive. Nobody told me how hard life was going to be. But if you're a person of biblical faith, this is not news to you. You know this. Oh yes, there's this tension we live in, and the tension never goes away. It's always there, and it never collapses on each other. The tension has to hold, because this is the truth. We are created a little lower than the angels. Oh my goodness, how magnificent we are. Created by God, by God's hands. We just didn't arrive. We are made by God and a little lower on the angels. But then the other part of the truth is, this is the other part of the tension. We're created out of dust. We're created from the ground. We are human people, humus. And so we are both vulnerable and magnificent at the same time. And our lives are in this tension of great creation, but hazards and difficulties. We are people who live with broken hearts, with broken dreams, with broken bodies. We are incomplete. We take our hurts with us. Some of them never go away. And so, because you're a person of biblical faith, you know this. You have been told that we are in hazardous places, places where we get hurt, created by God, little lower than the angels, but oh my goodness, how vulnerable, how human, how prone to make the wrong decisions, make the wrong mistakes, do the wrong things, fail to do the right things. This tension between the two. And so we have this beautiful psalm that reminds us of that thing, very thing. It's an amazing psalm. It was a psalm, technically, it's called a psalm of ascent. There are a number of psalms of ascent. And what that means is that they were hymns that people sang, that people made music with. They sang these hymns, but not in the synagogue. They sang these hymns as they journeyed from their hometown to one of the great festivals in Jerusalem. There were a number of festivals, the Festival of Pentecost, and all you read about them in the New Testament. There were people who made journey from up in Galilee down to Jerusalem, and it's a long way. It's 90 miles, all ages, People of all physical conditions. They couldn't walk too fast because they had to walk together. They were children. They were always running off. You have to grab them. They're the old people. You had to help them lean as they walked on their canes. So they walked under the hot sun. And with fatigue and weariness. Well, how do you make a journey like that? How do you get to Jerusalem, brother, sister? How do you get there? Well, there's only one way you can get to Jerusalem like that. You've got to sing. And this was one of the hymns that they sang. There would be a song leader. I don't know if the song leader is in the front or in the back or in the middle. But just when they would be really weary, very tired and thirsty and wondered, can I make this 90-mile journey again? I don't think I can get there this time. Somebody, some song leader would begin a song. And something happens to you when you sing. When you begin to declare the glory of God, and when you remember the deepest truth that's in your life in song, all of a sudden there's a new energy that comes into the body and spirit. The knees don't hurt quite so badly. And the step gets a little springier, and your spirit gets lifted a little bit as the song leader begins the song. And he begins it by saying, if God hadn't been for us, isn't that wonderful? Where would we be? My. Where would we be? Who would we be? If God hadn't been for us. And then they sing. See, it's a lining out of the words. If God hadn't been for us, and all of a sudden all the people together, they began to answer, if God hadn't been for us. And he goes through the hymn, and they sing it together. It's got a great beginning, if God hadn't been for us, and it's got a great ending. The ending, of course, is God's strong name is our help. That's the beginning and the ending of the psalm. But in between the beginning and the ending, they remember how difficult life is. If God hadn't been for us, the serpent would have swallowed us whole. We would have been destroyed. We would have never made it. The difficulties and the problems and the hurts and the hazards would have gotten the best of us. We would never be here unless God had been for us. God hadn't been for us, the rivers and the torrents and the waters would have drowned us. We would have been lost in the depths of the sea. That's the kind of hymn that they sang. They acknowledged the hazards, but the hazards don't get to win. The hazards never, never get to have the final word. We are never defeated. We're knocked down. Yes, yes, yes. We get knocked down all the time. But we're never knocked out, you see. Defeat is not part of the language. Only God gets to decide the end. And God is for us. And if God is for us, we will walk through the storm. And we will walk past the sermon. And you notice, and this is so important, because we live in a time of when Western civilization, being what it is, we have this myth that to be alive in the world is to be rugged individualists. Something wrong? Pull your boots up. Grab the straps. Fix yourself. It's up to you. You're on your own. That's the way most of us live. That's why there's so much anger and meanness in the world. People yelling at each other, people hurting each other, because they think that they're on their own. If something goes wrong, they've got to fix it. If someone's in the way, they've got to get rid of them. It's a mean world when you're on your own, and you have to do it all yourself. But we're not on our own. They journeyed together. They didn't sing a solo. They sang together in unison as one people, helping each other, walking together, supporting each other, praying for each other, loving each other, forgiving each other. You would never hope to do this on your own, would you? You'll never make it to Jerusalem if you do. We get to Jerusalem together. Not long ago, Audrey and I watched a movie. I don't know why I picked it. Some reason. But anyway, it was from Bhutan. I know you know exactly where Bhutan is on the map. It's one of the countries you could just pick real fast, right? It's this little country on top of Bangladesh. Has about as many people as the city of Charlotte. This in the mountains of the Himalayas, this little country. And the movie came out of Bhutan, Bhutanese movie. And the title of it was A Yak in the Schoolroom. I didn't know what it was going to be, but it was a marvelous story. There was this young man. And he was about to give up on his education. He had a dream. He wanted to go to Australia and be a singer. You know, he didn't want to live in this backward country. He wanted to get where civilization was, and had a good voice. And he wanted to get to Australia and sing. And it was clear that if he dropped out of school, he wasn't going to get his visa and everything was going to fall apart. And his grandmother convinced him, look, all you've got to do is student teach, and you'll get your degree, and you'll qualify to go to Australia if that's what you want to do. So where did he get sent? Well, he didn't get sent to one of the city schools. He got sent to a village of 56 people. Now, the village actually exists, and the people in the village are in the movie. How do you get to that village? Take a jeep, take a car? No. There are no roads. You have to go with a mule. A six-day journey into the mountains. And when they made the movie, the people with the cameras and all of the folks they had to take to make the movie had to make that trip. They had to have mules, and they had to get up to this village of 56 people that was cut off from the world in the wintertime because of the snows. Well, he gets there, and the first day he sees what he's been given, and he's going to quit right there. He's not going to do this. Well, the second day the children come and woo him and make him laugh, and he says, well, these kids are kind of cute. Maybe I'll give it a try. Well, the other part of the story is that there's a young woman. Ah, we have a romance now. And she has a good voice, and they teach each other songs. They go up into the mountains, and they sing together, and it's beautiful. They don't hold hands. They don't even hug. They never kiss. None of that. But there's this wonderful attraction. This young man teacher, this beautiful young woman from the village. And you have hope. Something's going to happen here. At the end of the movie, he says to her, come with me to Australia. And she wants to go, you can tell. But she says, no, I can't go. Why can't you go? Well, you see, My grandmother is getting old, and my job is to keep her feet warm. It's a beautiful window and insight into a culture and a people in which people don't live their independent lives without concern for others. This young woman was a part of a family, part of a community. She was not I, she was we, which is one of the secrets of being a person in the world, not to say I, but to say we. It's like the Zulus of South Africa. They have this word, Ubuntu, and it means I am because we are. Our strength and our identity as an individual is connected to us. We are who we are because of what you are. I am who I am because you are who you are. And together we form identity and connection and relationship. And we sing to Jerusalem. That's what we're doing right now. We're singing our way. That New Jerusalem that the last book of the Bible talks about, where out of the throne of God, this river runs, this crystal clear river. And on both sides of the river, there are trees, 12 trees full of fruits. And the fruit of the trees are for the healing of the nations. The world is going to be healed by the fruit from the water flowing from the throne of God. And so, how do we live? Together. We live together. We stick together. Not easy. We forgive each other, even when it's hard. We remember to pray for each other. We write cards to each other when we're sick. We worship together on Sunday. We carry each other in our hearts. We belong together and by ourselves. We can't get to Jerusalem. You know, you can't do that. But together, we sing our way. All the way. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for the people you've given us. Maybe we would have chose others. Maybe we don't really care that much for the people that you've put in our life, but you put them there. Now keep us strong to love and care for so that we can become. In Jesus' name, amen.